Thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. Well, last time we considered the reality of our need of simplicity in Christ from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Paul's fear that believers become drawn away from simplicity in Christ has become a reality in today's church. We looked at verse 3 last time, and we want to really focus on verse 4 with the time that we have in this episode of FEA Today, but a brief review is in order. The truth laid out in these verses and the warning found here is more important to grasp today than at any time in history. The basic idea, Paul is saying, I'm fearful that while you will not embrace and live out the simplicity in Christ, you will begin to tolerate error that has come to you subtly in the guise of Christianity. We find from the first two verses of this chapter that Paul wanted to present these believers to Christ as those who were pure and holy. And yet, sadly, the Corinthian saints had not only allowed immoral living to characterize their lives, which we saw in 1 Corinthians, but they had become enamored by false teachers and false teaching. So, by way of introduction, last week we considered the fact that Satan is doing what he can with the time he has to do as much damage as possible to the will and the work of God. He knows he will not be victorious in the end, but he wants to bring down as many as he can with him. What does he do? We consider the fact that he's described as the god of this world and the prince of this world. He has a great influence over the hearts and minds of men and women today. Those who don't know Jesus Christ, he's blinding their eyes to the truth. He blinds the minds of those who believe not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, we read this. He somehow influences man to trust in his own thoughts, feelings, works, or reasonings rather than in Christ. But he doesn't stop with the unbelievers. He also seeks to devour the faith and testimony of believers as well. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us he wants to render believers useless for Christ, as our testimony is ruined before others. We also considered from Ephesians chapter 6 that he hurls what Paul calls fiery darts at believers, the fiery darts of the wicked, darts of doubt and discouragement and darts of distraction. So from verses 3 and 4, we find that Satan is doing what he can with the time he has to do damage. We also discover from verse 3 that his tactics are subtle. I don't know how he does it, but in concert with every person's sin nature and the godless culture in which we live, there is a craftily influential way that the god of this world, Satan, seeks to advance his cause, and the Bible tells us he will be very successful in accomplishing this as the church age progresses. Paul mentions, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. We see here the method Satan used in the garden in Genesis 3, the same method that he desires to use today. He employed an ordinary serpent. He used doubt. Doubt was planted in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 in the seed of a question. There's nothing wrong with asking a question, but we must be very aware that oftentimes Satan begins with a question as a way to plant doubt. The trend today, as I mentioned last time, is to rethink our theology, our methods, our beliefs, our behavior. And while to rethink in itself may not be a sin, Satan will often use this to plant doubt concerning the truth, the word, and the will of God. He used doubt, and then in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3, he distorted the truth. The majority of the truth was still there. Yet even by distorting the truth a fractional amount, God's clear commands were compromised. And the end of this, in verse 4 of Genesis 3, He outright denied the truth. Outright contradiction of God's commands is the ultimate end of Satan's method. We live in a day-to-day in which many outright contradictions are being embraced by professing Christians. The Bible says this, but I believe this. And we need to be very careful of that. So we considered from verse 3 here in our text of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan is doing what he can. His tactics are subtle. And the battle begins and ends in the mind. This is where we left off last time. We can rationalize any thought, feeling, emotion, or behavior with our mind. Because of this, we're exhorted throughout the Word of God to align our minds with the mind of Jesus Christ. We must guard our thinking. We must be careful. We must be careful what we study, who we listen to, what we believe. It must always center and be founded in the Word of God. Back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Paul says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Notice, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The underlying foundation here, really, is the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, we understand salvation is simple, but it's not easy. The Christian life is simple, but it's not easy. But what Satan wants to do is he wants to make complex that which is simple. Complexity reigns supreme today in the realm of much of Christian thinking, making things very complex, very convoluted, very difficult for believers to understand, things that God has made simple. And Paul reminds us that it's very possible for our own minds to become corrupted by perverting the simple, by making complex or convoluting that which is simple, that which is clearly revealed and stated in the Word of God. And I want us to keep in mind here, remember, Paul is talking to believers. He is talking to the Corinthian saints, to Christians. He is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to us today as well. It's a real possibility that any one of us who truly know Jesus as Savior could fall prey to Satan's devices. This was Paul's great fear for the Corinthian believers. Even today, our minds can become corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And really, as we look around, we see this all around us today in the realm of the church and the realm of Christianity. Moving on to verse 4. Paul writes, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul mentions that there are essentially three things that can be corrupted through Satan's subtlety. Three things that are laid out simply in Scripture, but have been perverted today. And he's fearful that the Corinthian believers would bear with those who espouse error in these areas. Number one, first, Paul mentions another Jesus. In the Greek, we find this is another of the same kind. In other words, two different people could be talking about the same person. They could be talking about Jesus, but not really the same person. A large portion of the world in which we live loves a version of Jesus, but not the real Jesus, as is clearly spelled out and recorded in Scripture. Much of the world today loves a Jesus who is not God, but simply a good man, a moral example. A Jesus who didn't really work miracles, because of course we know that miracles are impossible. A Jesus who is soft and positive only, and a judge not Jesus. Or a Jesus who is a radical revolutionary. These are the views of Jesus that are embraced by so much of the world and lauded by the world, and sadly, even among those who call themselves Christians today. Conversely, according to the Bible, the real Jesus, we find from John chapter 6, his doctrine was too much for many people. If you were to look at John chapter 6, beginning at verse 60, we find that many who followed Jesus actually turned away from following him because they did not truly believe in him and they were offended by his words. You see, they selfishly wanted to see what they could get from their relationship with him. It was only a small minority who truly believed in Jesus Christ and then committed themselves to him. Only a small minority realized the importance of Jesus' doctrine and of recognizing that only he, as God manifest in the flesh, was the way, the truth, and the life. So we find that Jesus, the real Jesus, his doctrine was offensive. It was too much for most people. We find also from Scripture that the real Jesus hated false doctrine and hypocrisy. We see this in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He hated false doctrine and he hated hypocrisy. We also see from Scripture that the real Jesus was full of grace, and yet he simultaneously forbade sin. John chapter 8, go and sin no more. We find from Scripture that the real Jesus was despised by the world. And when we talk about the world, we see from John chapter 6 and 7, this includes the religious leaders. They despise Jesus. The common people, they often despise Jesus. And from John chapter 7, even his own family members. The real Jesus was despised, hated by the world. We also find from Scripture that the real Jesus was fully God and fully man. He described himself as existing before Abraham, John chapter 8, and as one with the Father, John chapter 10. He described himself as the way, the truth, the life, and noted that nobody could have any relationship with God the Father except through him, another Jesus. The second thing we find here is another spirit. That is another of a different kind. In other words, this isn't even a close counterfeit to the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Paul was fearful that as they moved away from the simplicity of Christ, they would embrace another spirit. Of course, the false teachers would couch this false spirit as the true Holy Spirit. And so we find the spirit of the world motivated by Satan's ministers who are as angels of light, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. We need to understand many professing Christians and Christian leaders today are deceitful workers who are influenced by a spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. A spirit of this world, or a spirit who draws attention to himself. You see, the Holy Spirit does not lead believers to draw attention to himself, but to Jesus Christ and his word alone. And yet, so much of professing Christianity today is focused solely upon nobody but the Holy Spirit. We don't minimize the Holy Spirit. We realize his role in our salvation and our Christian lives. However, God desires that we magnify the person and work of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a spirit who magnifies experience over truth. There's a spirit today that claims to be the Holy Spirit, yet the same spirit minimizes and contradicts the truth of God's word. We need to be very, very careful. And finally, Paul writes, he's concerned they would fall into another gospel. The addition of works, either before or after faith, salvation, is a false requirement for salvation. A gospel that requires a change of behavior or works is a false gospel. A gospel that requires no change of mind concerning whom one is trusting for their eternal well-being is a false gospel. These are not truly gospels, Paul says in Galatians 1. They're not good news. They're under God's curse. The bottom line is the true gospel is simple, not complex. Recognize that you are a sinner, and faith alone in the person and work of Jesus Christ is the only remedy for your sin problem. Sounds simple. Do not fall away from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Paul's great fear was that these believers and many of us today would fall from this simplicity, and it's very possible for us to do so. We must be on guard. I thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today, and until next time, may the Lord continue to bless you.